Let us now turn to the part of God's word that we read in Psalm 46, and we shall read from the beginning. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. God is the refuge and strength and help of his people. This is not a mere theory. This is not even only a revealed promise. It is a proven fact. A proven fact, because God is a present help for his people. He has shown himself to be. And on this ground, the psalmist says, we will not fear. Therefore, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore will not we fear. Even though everything seems to go wrong, the earth is removed, the mountains are carried away, the waters of the sea are roaring, we have God as our refuge. God is our strength. He is a very present help in trouble. And with the Lord's help, we will consider, first of all, the troubled world. The troubled world. Secondly, the source of help. And that is God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The source of help. And thirdly, the proven fact. He is a very present help in trouble. This has been proven. We have found it to be so. God is a very present help in trouble. And finally, in the fourth place, the absence of fear. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. But may the Lord direct us to the true source of strength, the real protection from evil. We all need to be protected. We all have our fears. We may be anxious. We may be afraid of illness or afraid of people attacking us. But God himself is the protection of all believers. He will help them. He will protect them. He will deliver them. And so, like David, we should be looking to the Lord in all of our fears. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And may the Holy Spirit draw the hearts of each of us, that we would go to Jesus, that he himself would give us a new heart, and that we would come to Christ, and that he would be our Savior. First of all, the troubled world. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And the word trouble is in the plural in the original, and speaks of all kinds of troubles, adversities, tribulations, afflictions. As someone has said, the plural may refer to complex and aggravated troubles in a particular case. So one case might have many different reasons for perplexity. And the word in the Hebrew, trouble, has the idea of what is narrow, so that a person feels to be in a great strait. A person may feel hampered and restricted, and they are confined and they are distressed. The options are limited. The choices they have are few. But you see, in these kinds of situations, the believer feels that he or she has no choice but to look to God. And the person in this trouble, or in these troubles, may be subject to distress. These things tend to cause distress. A person may even feel agitated and anxious in their mind, but God is saying, be still and know that I am God. As we read in Psalm 93, we read that God created the earth, and he himself is clothed with strength. And though the floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves. Verse 4, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. And looking to God, we may have stability, because, as we'll go on to see, he is the strength of his people. He is saying, be still and know that I am God. And the psalmist is saying, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, when the whole world seems to be in chaos. And he says, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And mountains are a symbol of political states which seem to be strong as a mountain, but here they are being carried into the sea. When the strong rulers over these states are being overthrown by the masses. The sea is a picture of the world which is continually moved by the strife of human passions, as someone has put it. Perhaps these things speak of political convulsions, when revolutions are taking place, when what seemed to be stable is now disintegrating before our very eyes. And there is now great perplexity, as the Lord Jesus said, that there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And we believe these refer to states or governments. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, he says, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. And looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Well, here it is, the picture is great shakings of the mountains carried into the midst of the sea. And it is when judgments are in the earth, and there may be wars and rumors of wars, and there are violent changes and commotions. And the psalmist says, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. The waters, the masses of the nations, they are roaring in tumult and swelling with pride. These proud nations and peoples are in bitter opposition to one another and rising up against one another. And then the psalmist says, Selah, pause. It's perhaps a musical note signifying rest, a musical indication signifying rest or pause in the performance of the praise. But it also corresponds to the sense and meaning of the psalm itself. This is something to reflect upon, to think that believers can be without fear, even though the very worst of calamities is happening, even when the very elements are being consumed in the great fire that will melt the elements, and the heavens and the earth, Peter says, will burn up. Well, the psalmist says he can witness all of this and yet not be afraid. How marvelous this is. What reason to be thankful that God has provided his people with this comfort, that they never need be fearful, because God is their refuge, God is their strength, a very present help in trouble. And that is the reason why there's no need to fear, because God is our source of help. In the second place, what are you trusting in today? What gives you hope? What is the source of stability of mind and composure within you? Is it God or some other source? Is it when things are peaceful on the outside, you can have peace within? Well, then you're dependent upon circumstances, if that's the case. But we're to be dependent upon God, and then we can have lasting internal inward peace, because he is the source of help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A refuge is a place where someone would seek shelter. A refugee seeks refuge and is thereby protected from some danger. A stronghold may be a fortress where soldiers find shelter and they are protected from enemy fire. Well, God is the refuge of his people. He, in fact, is the wall around them, a wall of fire about them, surrounding them with his protection and surrounding them with his love. And he says, God is our refuge, as Spurgeon puts it, not the army. That's not the refuge that will take care of us. We use the means, but we trust in God. Our true protection is not something that man can provide. It's not in medical achievements. Our true protection is not in alert levels, and it's not in vaccines, but our safety cometh from the Lord. We are to use the lawful means, but we're to trust in the Lord, because he is our refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge, child of God. Moses says, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. But he is not only their refuge, he is not only their stronghold, he is their strength. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is our strength. Believers may feel very weak at times, and indeed they should cherish a sense of weakness so as to bring them to depend upon God for strength. But they may feel so weak that they cannot seem to take a step forward, and fear may so disable them that they are overwhelmed, and they are so debilitated by surrounding circumstances that they may have even fainted, and they do not know where they stand. But God is the strength of his people. He is calling us to look again to him, to look to him anew, trusting in him. He has assured us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint, because the Lord gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. So let us wait upon the Lord and be confiding in him. God is our refuge and strength. And he says, fear thou not. He does not want us to be afraid. He is calling us to be without this slavish fear. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God is righteous to help his people. He will truly come for their aid. And that is what we consider as well, a very present help in trouble. He is the help of his people. He is their source of help. And the word help in the original is the same as is found in the word Ebenezer. It is the same as the name Ezra. God is the help, the Ezra of his people. He gives them upholding grace. He gives them support. He keeps them from sinking in fear. And he gives assistance. He gives us help. He gives the aid of his Spirit in their duties. And when believers wonder how they will cope, they may ascertain how their needs will be met. They ponder how things will work out. God comes for their rescue. He comes to deliver them because he knows their need. He is omniscient. That means all-knowing, omniscient. He knows their weakness. And what comfort it is for us to know that God has full knowledge of our inability. We're not able to do anything at all of ourselves. But God doesn't require anything of us that He's not willing to give us. All that He requires of us, He is able to give us, that we would be enabled to do it. And so what is a duty on our part is a grace on His part. The Lord knows that we're dust and that we can do nothing. But He is ready to help us in every time of need. He is a present help in all our weakness, a very present help in trouble. Are we going to God in our troubles? Are we going to Him for strength? Are we seeking refuge in Him? And are we depending on Him for that help, that aid, that support, that the provision that He grants? All that we need is in Him, able to help us. Well then, let us consider the fact that this is the undeniable experience of God's people. They have found Him to be their help. He is a present help in time of trouble. And this is the proven fact in the third place. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So the word present literally is found. He is a help. A help He has been found exceedingly. God has caused His people to discover that He is their true source of help. And the psalmist is saying, we have experienced God being our help. We have known Him to be our strength. We have sought refuge in Him, and we have experienced protection by Him. We have sought His help, and we have found it, a very present help in trouble. We have found Him. He has been found to be our help. He is near, in fact. He is near. We have found Him. He is with us. Now that's what he is saying in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. He is present. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He is near. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. And perhaps this psalm is speaking of that great deliverance that Hezekiah and Jerusalem and the army experienced when the destroying angel destroyed 185,000 soldiers of Sennacherib's army. What a great deliverance that Hezekiah experienced. And so they knew by experience that God is their help, a very present help in trouble. He has been found to be their help. And so believers even today can look back to experiences of God's help so that they are reminded that God is near, and if He has helped them before in the past, He will still help them now and in the future. The Lord's people can set up their Ebenezer. The word Ebenezer means stone of help. Eben is stone, Ezer is help. Stone of help. A reminder, a memorial that is bringing back to their mind the fact that God has delivered them. And so believers can look back at particular occasions where God has come for their aid. He has disappointed their fears. He has come to rescue them, and He has provided what they needed in particular in those circumstances. God has said that He will never forsake His people. I will never, never leave thee. No, I will never, never forsake thee. And if God will never forsake His people, then they know, they accept by faith that He is with us still. That is God's promise. They have a present help in God. He is always with them, always near them. He is always found of them. Yes, they have to wait upon him. They have to seek. Not every time we get on our knees, we immediately find conscious help from God. We're to seek him and wait upon him. We're to look to him. Therefore, wait ye on me, God says to his people. And the prophet says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait upon the God of my salvation. And so believers seek him and they do find him. They call upon him and he does answer them. And for all those who trust in the Lord and all who endeavor to do his will, we read in Isaiah 58 verse 9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. He is near. He comes. He's with his people. He is a very present help in trouble. God is nearer to his people than they know. And in fact, he is nearer to them than the trouble is. How can that be? They're saying, oh, the trouble is so near. It's affecting me. It's affecting my mind. It's weakening my heart. I am trembling. I'm overwhelmed. It's just shaking me altogether. God is nearer than the trouble is. The distresses cannot enter into our souls so as to ruin us and to deprive us of God's love. No, the trouble is not as close as God is. God is in us. God will never leave us. He gives us his Spirit that dwells in us, and God will bring us safely home to glory itself. And the Lord Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He has promised his church that he is present by his Spirit. And so believers are encouraged to go forward, knowing that not a hair of their head shall perish. Christ will protect them from the evil one. He is their shield. He will keep them from falling into sin. He will keep them from the fear of man. Only trust in him. Lift up the shield of faith, and the Lord will surround us with his protection. He will be a wall of fire about us. He will be our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And that is how there can be the absence of fear. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And so finally, in the fourth place, let us consider the absence of fear. If we are praying to the Lord, if we are seeking him, if we are confident in his power, if we believe in his omnipresence, he is everywhere present, then we will be relieved of fear. We will experience God helping us, giving us peace. Thou wilt keep him. Thou wilt keep him. Those who are trusting in the Lord will protect as their refuge. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In the Lord we have an infinite supply of strength, help, and comfort. Therefore will not we fear. Now, God is not calling us to have no feeling. He is not saying that we are to harden ourselves in some kind of natural, stoical kind of way. We are not to be foolhardy, and we must not venture needlessly upon danger, but we are to be fearless through trust, trusting in the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And we read, in fact, that the righteous are bold as a lion, while on the other hand, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold, and that is because they have the shield of faith and they have the breastplate of righteousness, and therefore they may be bold in Christ. And also, their experiences allay their fears. They are delivered from fears when they reflect upon former occasions of God's help. They look back and they say, well, God helped me then, and God will help me now. David could face the giant because he had already experienced help when God delivered him from the bear and the lion. God gave him strength on those occasions. God will give him strength on the new occasion. And so it is. David says in Psalm 118, the psalmist there says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And so, friend, if you are saying, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Psalm 91. Well, then, this will be said of you. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and so on. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, and so on. Well, Psalm 91 is a very comforting psalm. If we are tempted to undue fear or slavish fear, read Psalm 91 and read it again and again and again. How can I overcome slavish fear? Well, we need the fear of God. We need the fear of God so that we might overcome the fear of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And we need, of course, a new heart. If we're not converted, if we don't have a new heart, then we don't really have the fear of God. We need the fear of God. We need a new heart so that we'll love God and we'll also have reverence and awe of God, which is true only of those who have a new heart. And so we need faith in Christ that we might truly love Him and be constrained by the love of Christ. So we're called upon to look to Jesus. Go to Christ. Go to Him for all that we need. For eyes to see, for ears to hear, for an understanding mind and heart. And that we would truly depend on God in every situation. That, of course, is by the Spirit. It is by the Spirit that we trust in God. We need the grace of God to trust in Him, or to go to God for that. Go to Him for everything. Go to Him for the Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. And believe the Word. Look to the Word and believe the truth. The Word of God shows us the dangers, shows us the temptations that we're to avoid, the traps of Satan. And if we see the trap, then we will avoid it. We're to resist the devil and he will flee from us. And pray for that boldness and pray that we would always depend upon God in the worst circumstances, in the most trying difficulties, to be saying with confidence in the Lord, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Yes, friends, there is peace in believing. And if we hear the voice of Christ, we will hear Him say to us, be not afraid, only believe. It is then that we would have mental stability when we are leaning on the Beloved, when we are seeking refuge in God, waiting upon Him for strength, and looking to Him for help. Look unto me, come unto me, and may that be our experience, to experience the Lord's help, a very present help in trouble. May He bless His word. Let us pray. O Lord, forgive our sins, which are many, all of our lack of trust, all unbelief, whereby we are so ready to lean on something of our own or something of man. Oh, that is the natural man. That is the way of sin, to look to everything for help but thyself. But thou art calling, and thou art saying that thou hast laid help upon one that is mighty. And may our eyes be upon that one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself a ransom for many. Oh, that we would look to him for forgiveness and repentance and grace to help in our time of need. Receive us graciously, bless our congregation, each family apart, and bring us together again in thy holy will, that we would seek thy face, so that this would be a generation that seeks thy face, O Jacob. Hear us, Lord, and wash away all our sins, for Christ Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing in conclusion from Psalm 46. Psalm 46 from verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, in straits a present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. Though hills amidst the seas be cast, though waters roaring make and troubled be, yea, though the hills by swelling seas do shake, a river is, whose streams do glad the city of our God, the holy place wherein the Lord Most High hath his abode. God in the midst of her doth dwell, nothing shall her remove, the Lord to her an helper will, and that right early prove. Psalm 46 from verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength. God is our refuge and our strength, in straits a present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.